Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to the Women Truckers Network, the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers. The Real Women in Trucking is a 501c6 driver organization whose mission it is to deliver highway safety through leadership, mentorship, education, and advocacy. You can learn more about becoming a member at www.realwomenintrucking.org.
Woo! Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Desiree, and I'm a truck driver, and we are doing a radio show from a truck. Really. So we've got us stationed all around the Midwest right now, thinking, operating the board and operating the radio. We're parked. We're not operating the truck. I want to welcome you to the Women Truckers Network Blog Talk Radio program. This is the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers, and my name's Desiree Wood, and I'm being visited by a friend, Juanita Evans, today, fellow truck driver. Real Women in Trucking is a 501c6 membership organization for professional drivers. Yes, we are actual long-haul truck drivers. And we happen to be women. We provide self-help information to women entering truck driver training to help them overcome impediments and set them up for failure in their critical first year. And we're vocal on other important trucking issues that affect drivers. This is an advocacy organization, and we encourage seasoned drivers that want to become part of a movement to improve this industry and promote unity to become a paid member. Our paying members and approved sponsors help us keep Real Women in Trucking going, and since we do work. And by the way, you do not have to be a driver to become a mission support member. You can learn more about membership or giving a one-time donation on our website at www.realwomenintrucking.org under the Join tab. Don't forget about the first annual Lady Truck Driver Cruise and Queen of the Road Awards, March 2017. You can get more details on our website. Nominations are open until November 11th. And I'm sorry, they're open until November 7th, I think, but we can extend that seeing how I wrote that wrong. We do have 12 nominees already. You don't need to be present to win. If you know a lady truck driver who you would like to sponsor to come on the cruise, you can get details on our website and book with our group code directly with Carnival Cruise Lines. Everyone is welcome, and we are pleased to announce that Jan Shelley, the senior trial attorney from the EEOC, she was a guest on our previous show a while back. She was part of the winning legal team against Prime in the Prime discrimination case. Jan's going to be joining us on the cruise. She's going to deliver a workshop. So whether you're an HR rep for a carrier who wants to make certain that your company is compliant, or you're an individual that wants to learn more about your rights, this is an opportunity for you to gather valuable knowledge. So I want to open up tonight's topic with some recent articles that came out about the drop in women truckers. And I felt like we really needed to do a show on this because I got contacted by two writers on this topic. And one of the writers asked me to talk to some women who were experiencing some of the issues that I talked to him about. And then I scrambled to get him all these people to interview, dropped everything I was doing, which I was actually in an airport on my way to the last truck parking meeting. And some of them felt he was very dismissive and didn't really want to hear what they had to say. And I was like, wow, all these women dropped everything they were doing to tell you their story, and you didn't quote not one of them. We've had over 70 female students that contacted us in our first year of membership that were looking for help getting through truck driver training. We had fewer this year, but the year is not over. But we saw ladies leave for a number of different reasons, and we wanted to let people know that. the first reason I want to say is the same reason the men are leaving, being lied to, being put in CDL programs that where they're set up to fail, not making the money that they thought they were going to make, not getting home when they were told they were going to get home, and a number of other issues. So when I got asked about the women's numbers, ever since I entered trucking in 2007 and I first interacted with other women that were truck drivers, it was clear to me that the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers always seemed a little bit off from what I was seeing out there visually on the road. I've always believed that it's higher than 6 or 7%. When you're out, you see many, many more women. And I think that the Bureau of Labor Statistics has never been accurate. So in 2013, when I was working on the Jason's Law survey, I actually reached out to the Bureau of Labor Statistics so that I could get some answers about why the discrepancy, how do they get this number? So I had made contact with a woman named Karen, and she sent me some spreadsheets back then. And I had a conversation with her about my perception of it and so forth. And so she wrote back to me. She's an economist at the Office of Employment and Unemployment Statistics, Bureau of Labor Statistics. Okay, that's her title. So she wrote to me that the data that they use combines driver sales workers and truck drivers. That's the category on the employment by detailed occupation and sex overtime report. It's a report that includes heavy and light truck drivers along with delivery and sales drivers. This is what she wrote to me in 2013, that the driver sales workers component they no longer used included those who drive trucks or other vehicles over established routes or within an established territory and sell or deliver goods such as food products, including restaurant takeout items or pickup and delivery items such as commercial laundry. They may also take orders, collect payments, or stock merchandise at a point of delivery. A separate category of industrial truck and tractor operators includes those who operate industrial trucks or tractors equipped to move materials around the warehouse, storage yard, factory, construction site, or similar locations such as tractor high lift drivers, tractor drivers, and caterpillar and forklift operators. Prior to 2002, she wrote that they did separately show categories for truck drivers. The data in the file for 1983 to 2002. She also checked with a few colleagues during that time and gave me some other sources. So as you can see, this information is very convoluted. And when I talked to her on the phone, she told me in the 80s, the numbers were a lot greater. So it's something about their methodology that they've changed. They change from time to time. And I was noticing when she sent me the spreadsheets when I got in touch with her after these articles and asked her, what's the story? What's behind this drop? Some of the categories were not highlighted that were highlighted before. She wrote here 8 days ago to me and said that I'm attaching this table to show you employment by detailed occupation, sex overtime. That's the report. You can look it up. And it's available on our annual Table 11 online, and she gave me the link. We do not have information that would explain the movements in individual occupations, such as women and trucking, while the number of women employed as drivers, sales workers, and truck drivers appears to have declined between 2014 and 2015. It's unclear if this is a real change to a trend after an increase from 2013 to 2014, offsetting movements like this may simply be noise in the estimates. So that's pretty much all that they wrote there. Now, a lot of us know that there has been a campaign to encourage women to enter trucking in the last couple of years without making them have a path to success. And it's sort of like only the strong survive or the really lucky. It doesn't have anything to do with strength or you know, whether you have the ability. It's just sort of you either by luck fall into something and you're able to hang in there, and sometimes you can't. And that's sort of why we decided to file our paperwork to start trying to help people and hopefully make contact with them before they got into trouble. So that's sort of the introduction that I wanted to say. First couple people I'm hoping to talk to today is a gal that got a hold of me yesterday by the name of Pamela, who was expelled from a CDL school, kicked out, degraded, humiliated, and now has a learner's permit from Missouri, but she lives in Georgia. She was sent to the school from U.S. Express. I actually called them yesterday, the same number she called when she tried to get involved with their program, that they have a partnership with this school, trying to understand how this lady from Georgia ends up in Missouri with a Missouri permit and then unceremoniously just booted out of the motel and to the Greyhound station with nothing and humiliated. And then I wanted to talk to Julie Murphy and a couple of other women who were going to call in, but they had a sort of a time frame. So I'm going to be quiet now and let Sandy let me know if we've got Julie or Pamela on the line yet.
Okay.
Yes?
Definitely. This is Pamela. I'm here.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, great. Yes, I can hear you, Pamela. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
So, very briefly, you sent me a message on Facebook, and you've sent me a couple pages from the contract, your friend's contract, in which I saw that, and she's having a kind of horrible experience. Just really briefly, you told me that you called U.S. Express. They have a partnership with a school. They told you you were going to Kentucky, but they ended up sending you to Missouri. You got through your general knowledge. You took your skills test and got a little nervous. A lot of us do. And they said that if you didn't make it, you could pay $75 and take it again. You did that, but you still had some trouble. And then tell what happened.
Okay, let me start from the beginning. Okay, I had submitted an application to U.S. Express. And I had a really nice recruiter. Her name was Lorraine, and she was really nice, and she told me about the company and everything, and that once I go to school, then once I get my CDL, then I'll be working with them. So I was told that I was enrolled to go to Kentucky, and then at the last minute, someone from the school. From the school had called me and told me no, I don't know why they told you that you're going to Kentucky, that you've been sent to Missouri. And so she was the one that had sent me information to catch the bus to Missouri, and from there I was even given the wrong directions. I was given that someone would pick me up at the bus station, which wasn't so, and I had no idea where I was, and I had to find my own way to the hotel that they were sending me to, and I had to ask people around in Missouri. It's a state that I had never been to before. I didn't know the one there, and it just like was miscommunication. So once I got to the school, they had us to sign a lot of paperwork and everything. And, we had to sign this enrollment agreement. And, they told us that once you complete your classes there at the school and pass, that we will be hired by U.S. Express. Okay, so they took us to the driver license plates, and I passed all my written tests the first time. And then from there, I went through my classroom training, and I had good grades. I was always on time. I never missed a day. And after that, they took us to training in the yard. And we was in the yard for so many days, and then we finally got to go on the road. And, you know, I passed everything. At this school, I had an 87 grade point average, and I had a 91 grade point average on the road driving. So at first, I had wanted to take my pre-tip. I failed it. Then I was given another chance to take it free, and I passed it. And then from there, the next phase, you would do your skills test, which is called maneuvers. And I had a problem with one of the maneuvers. And the strange thing that I had passed this maneuver at the school, and when I had failed it for the second time, I was told that I had to pay $75 to rent the truck. And it was on a Wednesday. The rest of the school called me in the office and told me that his boss told him to give me my $75 back and send me home. I said, why? And he said that his boss said that I had overextended my hours at the school. And he told me that he was going to go ahead and keep my $75, and he's going to take me to a location on the next day and told me that I had to pass. If not, he's going to send me home. And so I got up because we had to catch the truck at 4:30 in the morning to drive 2 hours to the testing site. And, I wasn't stressed. I wasn't nervous. And so, I did my first maneuver was a straight back. I did that perfect last time. And then the second one that I had failed the first time was my offset, and I had got into the box, and it just like to me from my mirror, I was crooked. So I was just thinking too that, you know, with what I was told the day before, I was under stress. I said, you know, I had to pass. I'm going home. And so what happened, I pulled out. And once I pulled out, I kind of messed myself up. And by the time I got straight to back my trailer back into the box, the examiner had blew the whistle. And he told me, he said, Pam, you know, he said, you was in the box, but you probably got nervous. And he said, you probably should have stayed. So, you know, I was really frustrated at myself and just thinking in my mind, you know, oh, I didn't pass. They're going to send me home. So we got back to the school around about 3:30 that evening. And the director wasn't there, so he told the driver that whoever didn't pass to go to see this lady named Sandra. So I did that, and I went to the office to see her, and she was really cold and rude, and she told me, she said, well, since you didn't pass, I'm gonna need for you to be at the hotel before 11:00 in the morning. And I just looked at her. I said, what? She said, I need you to be at out of the hotel before 11:00 in the morning. And that didn't even give me a 24-hour time period to do anything. And I asked her, I said, well, do you mind just give me a letter or something to state that I was a student here? She said, no, just like that. She was really rude. And she said, the only thing I'm going to give you is your enrollment agreement to show how much you got to pay back for your school loan. And I said, I don't understand. How come you can't just give me something to state I was here? I said, do you mind if I pay $75 again just to rent the truck? She said, no, because she said, we need a truck for our students. I mean, I thought I was a student too. She said, no. She said, I need for you to get your things and be out of the extended stay before 11:00 in the morning. So here I was in a city that I had never been before, and I had to scrape up some money just all of a sudden to get a bus to get back home. And, you know, I really felt humiliated, you know. Now, I was hurt because I knew that I was a good student. I was never late. I never missed a day, and I had, you know, a good grade point average, you know, and it just like I was just thrown out, you know, and I. But it, I mean, that's a bad feeling because I quit my job to go into trucking. You know, I worked at a courthouse, and you know, this is something that I wanted to do, and I knew, and I took months to prepare myself mentally and physically for this. So it wasn't that I just decided overnight, oh, I'm going to do this. You know, I left my job in April, and I studied, you know, and I was sent to the school in August. So, you know, right now I'm stuck with a Missouri driver's license and a permit from Missouri. And so what happened, me and my fiance had called to the school. So the director over the school, he called back, and he was really nasty. And he told me, he said, you took the test six times and you didn't pass. I said, I did not take the test six times. I said that, you know, I took it, it was either four or five times, you know, because the last time I paid myself. And you know, he said, well, you can go on your own and get your CDL, but you can't come back to the school, you know. And then he told me, he said, well, we had to pay for you to stay at that hotel, you know. And just like, I said, well, I mean, I could see if I was a bad student, you know. And I said, I just asked to pay $75 more just to use the truck. I didn't ask to stay in the hotel, you know. I could have made a way to even met them at the testing site. I just need the truck. But, you know, it's just like they didn't want to help me.
You told me that you got sent a bill now for $6,000 for the tuition for the school.
Yeah.
So you owe $6,000 and you're supposed to start making payments on it. You have no CDL. You just have a permit from Missouri, and Georgia will not accept the permit. Is that
right? Yeah. And I have no job, and I just came home was September the 22nd, and what she printed out was for me to make payments this month.
So this is like the first part of where a lot of people get robbed in CDL training. And Dan Rather did a show on it. It's on the internet. It's called Mind Your Loan Business. If anybody wants to look that up, Google Mind Your Loan Business, Dan Rather, and you're going to find a video about how many schools bring people in and they sell them this CDL school and they don't give them the skills to pass. They don't get that job, and they get that bill, and they have to pay it. And in that particular investigative report, they found out that the school owned the finance company for those loans. So I want people to understand that. Now, a couple other things you told me, Pamela, were that I said, were you really going to get the job at U.S. Express? But then you mentioned told you that you were going to end up going to Covenant, but then your roommate ended up going to U.S. Express and is on a trainer's truck right now and had some problems. Can you go over that? Because we have I think Julie might be calling in a couple minutes, so I want to get on to some other.
Yes. Well, my roommate, she did pass, and she was with her trainer, and about a week after she was with her trainer, she had texted me. And she said that her trainer was acting really crazy. And, you know, she was saying that at that time her trainer was yelling at her. And then she had texted me two nights ago. It had to be about 2 in the morning. She told me that her trainer had pulled a knife on her. And, you know, I was really shocked. And I asked her why, you know, I asked her why was the lady so angry. She was saying that her trainer had been pressuring her to do a lot of things that we were not taught to do, as far as running red lights and doing different things. And she said that because of that, she almost had a bad accident. And so at that moment when she refused to do what her trainer wanted her to do, she said her trainer had pulled a knife out on her. So she said she got out the truck and ran, and she had called her boyfriend, which was like 4 to 5 minutes away, and she called the police, and they got the police officer involved, and the person that was driving got arrested.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to clarify that that's a female trainer that pulled the knife. And we've heard this whole recent big crime discrimination case. They lost all of this money. And I just talked to a prime driver a couple days ago that had to get off of out of their prime training because they had 3 bad male trainers, various different issues over there. And some people said that the women, having women trainers was the solution. I had a female trainer and she was a sadist. She was mean. And mm-hmm. you're talking about a female trainer that pulled a knife. There's a lot of trainers out there that don't want to train. They don't want to have anybody on their truck. They're pushed into it. They're trying to make their lease payment. They're angry. And then you put somebody on their truck that's totally vulnerable and doesn't know anything, and it is a recipe for disaster. So people need to know that, besides the fact that it is illegal to have different rules for different genders. That's why Prime lost. The biggest problem is if you don't have enough good trainers, you shouldn't be hiring that many students, because you're putting them in a dangerous situation and people are getting hurt. Pamela, I want to thank you for calling in today. I put you on our members only page on Facebook. I actually am getting some texts right now from other members that really want to, connect with you after the show. So if it's okay, I want to, share your phone number because I want you to know everybody's not like that. I don't know the solution right now. I did make a phone call to U.S. Express, and that recruiter, Lorraine, she transferred me over to somebody named Caitlin. I talked to Caitlin. Caitlin transferred me to somebody else. I left them a message. They didn't get back to me. But I feel like if this is the school that U.S. Express partners with, they should – why are you doing this to these people? Now you're $6,000 in debt and you're not a truck driver. And the thing is you need the certificate from the school to proceed. There's no renting a truck and going down to the DMV in Georgia and you got to find somebody that's going to hire you, and you're not really insurable. So you have to get to one of these places that has the insurance, or you have the money to pay for the first year insurance, which is incredibly high. So with that, I'm going to move on. I think Julie's calling in. She's sending me a message from area code 505. So, Pamela, thank you so much, and we'll talk again this week, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, Desiree.
Sandy, Julie just wrote a message and said she's calling in from area code 505. So whenever you see that, perhaps you can open her mic.
Okay, I don't have that 505. It looks like it might be the Skype. Let me open this message that's all ones. Good afternoon. Who do we have here? Hello?
Okay, that's all right. She just sent me a message on Facebook, so I just told her we're waiting on her. So did you scroll down that side to see if she's
yes,
down?
Yes, okay. And I've opened the mic for that 1111 thing. I guess I might as well close it because they're not responding.
Okay, just close it because that's not her.
Okay.
She's going to call in from area code 504.
I've been watching for her.
I think you have to press the microphone a second time for it to turn off.
I am, and it's not doing anything. Okay, now it says on hold. Okay.
Okay. All right. So
now
Julie's
it's showing
call
it back live. I have no who that is. I'm sorry.
Julie's going to call in, and Julie was a. Go ahead.
I have Julie now. Let me open her mic, please.
Okay.
Good afternoon,
so Julie,
Julie
was a student member that joined Real Women in Trucking. She did a lot of research. Julie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Let me see. I can hear you. So I just kind of copy and pasted your story. But you were a student member, and I remember when we first started our members only page, you wrote on there and said, you know, thank you, Desiree, that you saved me a lot of money, you know, because of these kinds of CDL schools and all of these mysterious, and you actually chose a good training carrier to what we thought, which was Conway, correct?
Yes.
But it was right about the time that they switched over to XPO. Is that correct?
I signed my contract the day before they switched to XPO.
Okay. All right. So you were right in the middle of all of it.
Oh, yeah. I had their orientation, and then I signed XPO, and then I signed for 11 months.
Okay. So go ahead and – I know you just have a few minutes, so go ahead and let us know what happened and about you and so forth and why you left.
I left mostly because it was a life that was too hard for me. I left the teaching profession after 10 years to see what I was able to do. Talking to you would be easy. And it was probably one of the most difficult.
I think you're breaking up a little bit. I didn't hear that first sentence.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I left teaching after 15 years. Thought trucking would be easy, but researched it thoroughly. I utilized the information from Real Women in Trucking, from your videos, from your book page. And that saved me a lot of time, money, and anguish because I got excellent instruction in school. I got excellent training in school and opportunity. I applied to Conway because I felt they were a company that was not going to get sold and or bought out, and they had a very good reputation. I'd heard the horror stories of CR England, of Swift, of some of the other major carriers, and Conway was my best bet. And it was. It was a very good company to work for. But as far as the overall operation of the trucking industry, it was brutal. It was just brutal. I left a 7 to 8 hour workday with weekends off at home all day for 14 hours a day, nonstop, sleep, drive, sleep, drive, sleep. And the turning point for me was actually about 3 weeks into it, when after driving solo, I asked them, you expect me to be up at 5 when I'm coming back from home, check in by 7, and then you give me a 10 p.m. run. And I said, how am I supposed to survive that day and drive all night? And they told me, no those, monster drinks, caffeinated soda, whatever it takes, you've got to do it. And I was not going to put myself through that. So I started looking for a job. And that was the big, big turn. The other turn was to really make any money at it, more than I was making in teaching. I was going to have to literally do my 14-hour day, take my 10-hour break, do my 14-hour day, and so on. And I just thought it was crazy compared to what I'd had before.
Yeah. So you went back to teaching now.
Yes.
And the one thing that I remember when you were leaving and you were saying that you do have like a whole different perspective for truck drivers now after your experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've
got total respect for them, having been, you know, part of the industry for even just a year. My driving is better and safer, not just from my training, but from sensibility. And they have a very difficult life, and they get, you know, minimum respect.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you go out of this industry and you go back and you teach, and maybe you'll think about us when you teach and teach the kids about truck drivers and be aware of. And I really appreciate you, because I know that you're in the middle of something else and you took the time out. And I really wanted to get your perspective, because you were the third person that went to Conway that ended up leaving trucking in 2015, 2016. And it was for different reasons, but you were right in the middle of that XPO thing that came just sort of out of nowhere, mm-hmm. and no one really knew how it was going to go.
Exactly.
So I really want to thank you for popping in, and I'll talk a little bit about the other two gals here in a moment. So that's Julie, the school teacher, former truck driver. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. All right. So on the website trucks.com, one of the first articles they contacted me about was about the truck driver shortage. And they wrote an article called "Truck Driver Shortage Is It Self-Inflicted?" And I had them interview one of our first student members from Real Women in Trucking, a lady by the name of Ann Curry. And Ann was a retiring parole officer from Tennessee. Fit, smart, had a pension, so the low wages were not going to be a factor for her. Picked a good school to go to, and picked Conway to be her training carrier. So we thought, okay, she's going to be like the first success story of Real Women in Trucking student mentorship. I talked to her on the phone all the time, and she's just like, she was aware of the trucking industry as a parole officer. She admitted that she suggested trucking to a lot of people that were leaving, you know, their care. Mm-hmm. So she was aware, you know, of the kinds of people that were in trucking. She was not naive, and the money wasn't a thing. So I thought Anne would be such a great subject for this article at trucks.com, and you can read it if you go up there to their drivers. It is itself. So Anne, she talked to the writer and let him know the low pay, the long hours, the other labor issues, and even though she had her pension, and this was a second career, and she went to a really good school and what we thought was a good training carrier, she felt like she was just getting run into the ground and not enough chance to even take a breath in between loads. To even go for a walk or take care of herself. So after she got done with her trainer, she said, I just sat down and did some serious soul searching, and I just did not want to sacrifice my health because deep vein thrombosis runs in her family. And all the sitting, almost immediately she saw that her legs were swelling up and that her health was being jeopardized. She also had elderly parents and started to feel really, you know, how that being 2,000 miles away if they needed her. And so those were some of the unforeseen things. No matter how good you prepare for this job, stuff like that really kicks in when you get far away. So Anne's story really stayed with the writer, and I wanted people to know about her, because she was going to be like the star pupil there. There was also another gal that went over to Conway, and she found that they were getting tons of miles when she was with her trainer, and they were just running hard. But as soon as she got her pay increased from student pay, she got no miles. And so she ended up leaving. So that was, you know, she couldn't really plan a budget around what she was making after the student pay ended, and she was getting, you know, kind of first-year driver experience wages, which is still really low. So those are two of the people. Sandy, I don't know if you have other people that have their hand up to talk. Does anybody else want to say anything before we move on to a couple other examples of ladies that left this year and ladies that stayed?
Hey, this is Juanita. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, ladies, or anyone else that's listening. I just wanted to say that just a couple of notes. In listening to those ladies' stories, it just brought to mind several things, one of which I think is that, for me, being a woman that came from corporate America into trucking, granted, I was fully prepared physically and mentally for what it would be. However, a lot of my frustration in trucking has been the lack of organization, the sometimes lack of communication of companies. You have to have, you know, you have to present yourself and be very, you know what I'm saying, not so much aggressive, but very much a self-advocate in this industry. There's also a lot of instances where it is just not, you know, like you said, Desiree, they're not, the companies aren't really truthful about how the runs are going to be, how the pay is actually going to pan out, when the home time is going to be, and how frequently and often that will come around in order to not only just make your money, but, you know, have some sort of work-life balance. And I think just in general, as a woman, a lot of times, you know, I'll speak for myself. Getting into trucking, I didn't have, you know, I don't have a husband at home. I don't have this sort of, you know, backup plan. I can't just pick up the kids and say I'm going to live in the truck. And I think a lot of people are in that situation. And they're able to say, well, you know, I don't care what it's paying. I can live in the truck, you know, or I've got a wife at home holding down the family so I can get out here and just run all kinds of crazy. Even though I don't like it, I can still do it. Whereas for me, for instance, I have to be very careful and very selective on the companies that I choose to work for because I have to maintain a balance. I have to have the pay. I have to have the time at home. I have to have all of those things line up. And just to speak to the overall process of a woman staying in trucking, from my perspective, I think a lot of it has to do with it takes a while. It takes patience and perseverance and going through some rough situations, rough companies, rough loads, you know, just rough situations in general before you find that company, that run, that situation, that pay, work, life balance, you know, that is going to work for you. And right coming out of the gate, right out of school, you know, you're not going to find that right away sometimes. Sometimes you're lucky and you do find it. But sometimes, you know, you have to go through quite a few situations to make that work. So that's all. I just kind of wanted to add those thoughts to it.
Okay, and I appreciate that because you reminded me of something. In this first article that Trucks.com did about the women, the drop in the women in the statistics, they had this quote in there that was so out in left field that says anecdotally, when freight goes down and there aren't enough miles for a team, the guy keeps running and the wife goes home and looks for another job. It says most women enter trucking because of a man, a father, a partner, to find employment as part of a team. That is complete and total crap. We've been doing a survey of women truckers training for a while. I'd like to get a bigger sample before I make it public. But the majority of women that are entering trucking are single. They are not married. They are single parents. They are divorced. Juanita's a single parent. She has, I think, three girls. And a lot of times the woman is caring for elderly parents and kids at home or even a disabled spouse. And they are the only breadwinner. But many of them that we interact with are divorced, single women. They are not bringing in a second income. They do not have the flexibility to go, okay, that was fun, hun. You sit here in the truck. I'm going to go home. And you know, that's not this picture at all. So I want people to understand something that we always keep getting this message about. On our website, in the news and media section, there is a tab that has past newsletters, and on there are two scholarly journals. One of them is one, it took me a long time to find this one, because I kept saying, you know, why do we always hear about trucking from somebody that's married? Because we're not married. Like, how'd you learn to drive? My husband. Okay, what if you don't have a husband? So tell me about what you do, like, in an emergency. Oh, well, one time all my tires caught on fire going down a big mountain. Oh, my God, what'd you do? I just called my husband, and he came out of the sleeper. It's like, okay, what if you don't have a husband? Then what do you do? I always, you know, I mean, that's nice if you have a husband and you have a significant other, but we always hear this conversation like everybody has one, and that is not the case. So this one article from 1982 that I found is called Women Trucker Problems and the Impact of Sponsorship. It's by Muriel Lembright. It's only a couple pages long, but I send it to people that want to know when they hear about, oh, does everybody enter, have they always enter? And when you read this article and this study here, it says women who are single have a completely different experience entering trucking than women who are married, who have a brother, a father, a significant other that was in trucking first that introduced them to the industry. When you're just a lone wolf trying to enter this industry, it can be incredibly dangerous. You are isolated. You have people that make all kinds of assumptions about why you're out here, and it's really difficult. So like Juanita was saying, is trying to find that right place for you to work. It really depends on your situation. And we've had a couple people that have changed careers this year. Liz couldn't be with us today because she got a job, so that's great. But Liz and I have talked a little bit. I've gone to local, a kind of a mix of local work and long-haul work. It means I have to do labor. It means I have to lift. I have to use a lift gate. I have muscles. I have pains. I have to get dirty every single day. But I get to go home more often. I get to go to the beach more often. I get to go to barbecues and plan my life a little bit more than I did when I was on the road all the time. I think that trying to find that local work was very difficult, and we've had this conversation in our conferences where women are looking for local work, and they're like, is it just me, or do people not answer your ad when you send your resume with a girl's name on it? I'm like, we've had many women talk about this, and I've experienced it myself. Nobody replies. I have a clean record. I have enough experience, but my resume is overlooked. A guy with a DUI will get hired before me. I've seen it many times. It was going to a staffing agency, a truck driver staffing agency, who would send me out on jobs without telling them I was a girl. is how I got introduced to a lot of different local type of driving jobs. So in a year and a half, I did local delivery for food, dairy, flatbed, the mail. I had to do labor. I had to learn how to use a pallet jack. I had to use a lift gate. I know how to open the doors now. And, you know, if I want to get in and out of there, I go unload it myself. But that's something that I never thought that I would do when I entered trucking. But there's trade-offs to it. Local drivers do a lot of work. So you need to keep yourself in some sort of shape if you think that you're going to do that. One of the gals I was hoping that would call in, I think her name is Jennifer. I don't want to say in case she's online I got it wrong. But she's driving for Old Dominion, and I talked to her, and she said she's doing doubles. She's making money. She likes it. She works her butt off. She's doing one of the hardest routes that they have, and she's loving it. And she's making more money than she ever thought that she was going to make, and she's a single mom. So she's happy to do that hard work. Sandy, who else do we have on the line?
Hello.
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 Okay. I didn't hear anybody there. Who's with me?
No, I'm here. Christine.
Oh, hi, Christine. How are you? Why don't you tell us what's going on with you?
I think I'm home for like another month where I can go back to work. I've been home locally for over a year now. Getting hired in this business is not easy. You know, do a little bit of everything. I got sick about a month and a half ago, so I've been home. We're healing, I hope. How's everybody else doing?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. I lost my headset for a moment. So you are a tanker driver.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
I'm a gas hauler for a common carrier.
And how long have you been driving?
21 years.
And what's going on right now that's jeopardizing you being able to stay in trucking?
My age is catching up to me. I've run very hard. Been an over-the-road driver for the last 10 years, and I came off, 11 years. But I've been a tanker haul, chemical tanker hauler for 15, driving for 21. And it's been hard. I mean, it's not easy on the body. You know, you're all over the country and hose lifting. You've got to get creative to do your job right, to be able to compete with the men who look down on you, and that's true, because you're a female. So it's catching up to me.
You've been with your company for a few years, you know, and when you were telling me about some of the things going on, you were saying you'd like to stay in the transportation field.
Yes.
How was that going? I mean, you've been a loyal employee and all.
Pretty much, I'm knocked out of the running for anything that is behind a desk or even mobile in a car. I wanted safety or, I don't even know, safety dispatch, something not behind the wheel, and that's not an option. My terminal manager made the point of not sending my resume up the chain because they keep good drivers in the seat. If you're a good driver, it doesn't make a difference. How old you are, your health, they're not going to give you that opportunity to grow, so you have to look outside. And again, we fall into the category where I am a woman in a 95%, 98% field of men, and again, the part of country I'm into, I get looked over, period. Doesn't make a difference how much experience you have.
And what you know is trucking. Like you're not as an older woman, even as a professional older woman trying to get a new job, career. Let's be honest, it's hard to find somebody that wants to hire you. But when you're a truck driver and you know about trucking, and your own industry doesn't even want to take advantage of the vast knowledge that you have, what are you supposed to do?
That's a very good question. I've been pondering that since my doctor told me I was getting sicker. Because in order to do my job, the medicine I have to take and function is what's going to hurt me in the long run. And it is hurting me. So am I worth anything anymore? That's a very interesting question. Because no one wants to take advantage of the knowledge that I've gained in that 21 years. Or the chemical side, and it just depends on where you're at. You don't want to jump companies because they know who you are. You want to climb with inside your own company. I mean, that's what the whole goal was, you know. At some point, you know, you're going to get older to where you don't want to do it or you want to gain something else. But if they're not willing to back you, what are your choices? And that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sad because I've met a few people that they know so much about this industry. They're just an untapped resource, a wealth of knowledge and experience, and they don't want them.
No.
They'd rather
have these.
What do they want?
They want the newbies. They want steering wheel holders. They want to fill the seat. And like like the first lady you spoke to, I felt so bad. My heart truly goes out to her. And then Pat and I were having a conversation day before yesterday, with the lady out of Texas. I mean, my heart just truly goes out to these women. You know, that one, like Pat Hackaday, when we were talking, her and I both agreed she would have made a potentially great driver. And she's backed out. She won't come back.
Yeah.
2 years.
I mean, there's only so much degrading and humiliation that you take, and you're like, wow, like, this is, like, not even healthy. I want to let everybody know, if you're listening on the line and you want to make a comment or ask a question, just press 1 and Sandy will open your mic. We're going to continue this, but we need to play a commercial break from our sponsor, Redaway, who really does encourage women to apply with them. If you've seen Melody Clark's video, she's working on a commercial for our show, by the way, and her blog post. But Melody, when I've talked to her on the phone, she said, you got to be ready to work. But, you know, they teach you. You know, they teach you to use the forklift. They teach you how to use the pallet jack. You just got to be ready to do it. So, Sandy, go ahead and let's take our little a break.
The good old days. Well, maybe not so much. In the past, few career options were available for women. School teacher, nurse, homemaker. If you weren't happy with those options, you were out of luck. Women have unlimited options today. Women have proven they can successfully perform just about every job, including trucking. The door to a career in trucking is wide open. The fact you are listening to a podcast created by The Real Women in Trucking on a network devoted to women truck drivers is proof more and more women are behind the wheel of a big rig every day. Why are so many women choosing a career in driving? Well, for qualified drivers, good jobs are there for the taking. Trucking companies like Redaway are eager to hire qualified drivers. Women are now an integral part of the trucking industry. New technologies help too. We're breaking down barriers so women can succeed in this industry. At Redaway, we have a variety of driving positions available. Line haul drivers are never away from home more than 3 nights a week. They travel 11 western states and into Canada. Pickup and delivery drivers are needed throughout our system. P&D drivers are home every night. We provide the training needed to make you successful. If you are looking for a truck driving career with a true work-life balance, driving for Redaway may be just what you are looking for. Whatever kind of driving interests you, whether you're a qualified driver or new to the industry, we're interested in you. Redaway is an industry leader with good pay, a comprehensive benefit package, premium free insurance, training, and support to help you succeed. Learn more about driving for Redaway by visiting redawayregional.com/careers or call 503-885-5618. Start traveling the road to success. Join Team Redaway.
You're tuned in to the Women Truckers Network, the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers. You can learn more about becoming a member at www.realwomenintrucking.org.
Okay. I like that thing. I know nobody can tell what the music is. I like the music in the background is The Cult, and nobody can tell that it's The Cult but me because I picked it out. But I hear it. I'm like, yeah, I love that song.
I like
it. So, Redaway is the partner or sister company to Holland. So that commercial Redaway, they cover 11 Western states and one Canadian province. So if you live in the West, Redaway, I mean, they've got like 55 terminals. So pretty much everywhere you can find a home terminal, and even their line haul you go out. But Holland is based in Michigan, and then they serve sort of the kind of Midwest, some of the East Coast, and they have a lot of service centers too. Not everywhere, not down where I'm at in Florida, but they are eager to hire more women, but like I said, you do have to be willing to work. And one of the things that we see a lot of times is the drivers are conditioned to think that there is no work. You just drive and you are a steering wheel holder. And then when somebody says you have to do, you have to push that cart out the back or something, they're like, what?
Hey, Desiree, that's exactly what I just wanted to comment on additionally, is that a lot of the local positions or even the regional positions, they require a lot of skill, whether it's loading, unloading, docking, being able to get into and out of, very, very tight areas easily. Mm-hmm. And drivers coming into the field are typically not prepared for that. So let's say you make it through training and you make it through your training carrier, but then you're like, okay, I want to do something local. It's a driver shortage. I'm here. I have no issues on my record or whatnot. I'm going to go and get a job, for a line haul carrier or somebody who's running local in my town or what have you. And if you have not had that experience, I think a lot of the reason why the local carriers are kind of like, I don't know, is because, you come into it ill-prepared, and that's men and women. That's not just women. But you come into it ill-prepared. You don't have the loading and offloading experience. You don't know what a lift gate is, let alone how to operate it. You're not trained up to that level. So a huge issue with anyone, not just women staying in trucking, but with anyone staying in trucking, is that there's this perception of all these jobs and all this money. And then, two, there's not adequate training for, the things that you actually face out here on the road. So you get a really, really good driver out here on the road, and they start encountering all these different issues that, granted, they come with the job, but, if you're not ready for them, that can be like shell shock.
Yeah. It's we wanted to do a show called Transitioning from OTR to Local, but we weren't able to get it together. But that's like what I went through when I was trying to get a local job, and I was really grateful to the staffing agency I went to. It's called Pro Drivers, if anybody's interested. And there's actually several temporary staffing agencies for truck drivers, and I found out about it because I was doing purchasing and logistics for ice cream company, and this really nice tanker company used to come and deliver our corn syrup, but I never saw them advertised for drivers. And I asked them, and he said, well, we don't hire drivers for staff. We only hire drivers through the staffing agencies. And the reason they do that is so they can try them out and see if you are a good fit before they make a commitment. And that worked really well for me. and it works well for them, because some of the stuff that I got sent on, I could just say, I work for the staffing agency. I could say, I don't really want to do this next week. And it's no problem. It's no big deal. It's not a big commitment. So and that's how I found my current job, was through them. We can talk about that more later, because we've really almost running out of time now. But Sandy says we got two people with their hands up that want to make a comment. And I know Tanya Daniels was going to call too. Not sure that she is on the line as well. So Sandy, go ahead and take that away, whoever's available.
Okay. I don't have her area code up here. I have 219 that's been on for nearly an hour.
Okay.
Good afternoon, 219. Who do we have?
Shannon. Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment. I first started driving back in 2002, and I was one of the ones that, you know, I was lucky. I went to a good school. I came right out of school and fell into a job where I was home every night. I gave it up. I only stuck with it for a few years because my son was small at the time. I thought I could handle, you know, being gone because I was home every night, but being 250 miles away when the school sent him to the emergency room, I said, no, I can't do this. And then earlier this year when I found myself out of work, I was trying to decide, you know, what am I going to do? And I came back to trucking. It is a totally different world now than it was just 15 years ago. When I first started driving, there wasn't nearly as many female drivers back then, but there was more respect for the female drivers back then than there is now. I guess I don't even know the words that I'm trying to say. I would have other drivers then that would go out of their way to help me, to show me the ropes. To nowadays, there's a bigger consensus, and you would think that it would have been back then when there wasn't as many, but nowadays it's all of these guys out here, it's like women on a bike. Either they love it and they appreciate that you're out here, or they don't think that you belong, and they're going to make your life miserable. And I don't understand why it's like that when it's more popular today than it was back then.
Well,
does that make any
sense?
That's
a really yeah, I mean, I think it does. I mean, Sandy, you've been out here for a very long time. I think culturally, though, we are living in a time in our culture where we have really don't have a lot of manners anymore. You know, we have a culture where a lot of young men have no manners. They are feel like they're entitled to treating women in a certain way, like we are on display for them. And frankly, we have a whole generation of women that think that they have to play to that. And that, and I don't like to do any kind of shaming or anything, because when I was young, I was wild. I was happy to run around and do whatever I wanted. The world is different. It was dangerous then. I mean, I'm not that old, but it is definitely a lot different for younger generations when you start seeing little girls, you know, wanting to grow up really way, way too fast and the mom encouraging it, and 30-year-old men, you know, leering at 12-year-olds and encouraging a culture of boys to talk down to women like they're objects. You know, how do you learn how to behave like an adult? If the adults are acting like that and that's all you see on television, that must be how you act. And so I think as a society, we all bear some sort of responsibility of trying to get back to a little bit more classy behavior towards one another. There's human nature, and then there's just, you know, bad manners and being rude, unnecessarily rude. I find some men You know, they're really helpful. They make eye contact. Then I'll go somewhere and there's some old man that's like licking his lips and following around and trying to rub up against you in a McDonald's, you know. So, you know, I can't brand one broad stroke of anybody, but, you know, we should all strive to treat each other better. And maybe some awareness. I'd like to see conduct training in all the carriers. You know, in any other industry besides this industry, you have conduct training and standards, annual retraining,
right.
Not 15 minutes, not 20 minutes, an entire day, maybe 2 days. You have to take a test. You have to sign a paper. Do you understand? You don't act like this. These are the consequences if you do. And every year you have to sign that paper and you have to have that reiterated. You're changing the culture. And we don't have that in this industry yet. We bring all these people together from all these different backgrounds and give them a fuel card and a $100,000 piece of equipment and the keys, and we say, see you later. Whatever happens to you between there, here and there, who cares? Just get the stuff there.
Yep.
You know, now when I pull into a truck stop, I feel like I have, you know, 50 sets of eyes on me waiting for me to mess up back and in. And I didn't used to feel that. I didn't, you know. It's really uncomfortable now, and it didn't used to be.
Yeah. I agree. There's a lot of places that I don't want to go, that I don't like parking. It just gives me the creeps. And then there's places that I feel it depends, you know, and if it's very rural areas and stuff. And, you know, and you kind of just have to, you just kind of have to have nerves of steel. You know, turn off the CB.
Turn off
the CB when you're parking in certain places. And don't listen to all of the noise and the nasty remarks that people say. And guys, stick up for the women. You know, it's not the two or three people that are the harassers that are the biggest problem. It's the hundreds that say nothing, that let it happen and don't stand up to the bullies and go, that is not cool. We don't do that here. That's unacceptable behavior. And so we need to take a look at that. I'm getting some texts right now. So, Sandy, did you have somebody else on the line, or did you want to play that last little break and find out if Tanya's going to call?
Yes, let's grab that last little break if I can find my way.
Okay, we're going to play the TAT PSA. I think it says TAT PSA.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And I'll look and see if she posted back on our Facebook.
Okay, thank you.
My son and I were driving through Oklahoma City, had the radio on, and the guy comes on the radio, hey, anybody want any underage girls?
This one, she didn't even look 13, 14 years old. She had a little mini skirt on.
A 14-year-old, 15-year-old. She's not doing this on her own accord.
You have to wonder who's behind them.
They have a pimp or whatever you want to call them, trafficker.
Sex trafficking is a form of modern-day slavery. It's when traffickers are using forced fraud or coercion to compel an individual to engage in commercial sex. And traffickers are not only exploiting the victims, but they're also exploiting these locations. Everything from commercial front brothels to residential brothels to hotels and motels, to truck stops, to street-based prostitution. A lot of exploitation is happening online. That's where a lot of the connections are being made.
Nobody wakes up and says, gosh, I'd really like to sell myself on the streets today. That is something that is being directed by the victimizer, by the trafficker.
Here we are, you know, I'm 15 years old, my cousin's 14, and we're here at a truck stop you know, being forced to work it, you know, and we're young girls, terrified out of our minds.
Trucking industry is in a unique position because they actually will be in locations that pimps will bring in their victims.
Truckers Against Trafficking is a grassroots organization. It comes alongside the trucking industry, recognizing that they're the eyes and ears of our nation's highways. They're in places that most people aren't, and that they can recognize potential victims of human trafficking more than the rest of us. You're talking about a really highly trained group of individuals that are seeing trafficking. They know where to report it. They're reporting it right away. And as a result, we have seen countless victims who've been recovered by law enforcement. When we talk about who's driving change in this area, we have to talk about the American trucking industry.
Thank God what saved me was that truck driver that called in and said, hey, you know, this is whoever at the truck stop, you know, and we have some girls out here that look pretty young.
Oh, that trucker. The one that made that phone call. Boy, I owe him a lot. And if he ever sees this, thank you, thank you, thank you.
A team truck driver with my husband Bob.
I've been a 16-year veteran of over-the-road truck driving.
I've been driving for 26 years.
And I am a trucker against trafficking.
And I'm a trucker against trafficking.
I'm a trucker against trafficking.
And I am a trucker against trafficking.
All right.
We are Truckers Against Trafficking. And
you're tuned in to the Women Truckers Network, the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers. You can learn more about becoming a member at www.realwomenintrucking.org.
Oh, now you're playing it all the time. Okay.
Yeah, this is fun. I like it. This is really fun. Okay. It's much better than it used to be.
Well, I like it, too. It's real with me.
All right, so we just have a few more minutes, and I'm going to let Juanita wanted to say one more thing, but I wanted to make sure everybody checks out our trucking classifieds on our website. These are companies that actively encourage women to apply with them, and you can check out the information of our crews, the Purpose, the Queen of the Road Awards. It's on the center of our website, www.realwomenintrucking.org. I also want to announce very quickly that Alan Smith from Ask the Trucker, he's going to be on our cruise. He's going to host our welcome mixer, and he's also going to teach us a self-defense class. I haven't been able to put it up on the agenda yet, but we're really excited about that. And we're really grateful. He's also going to videotape it, so we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Juanita wants to make one more comment about something that's popped into my mind about some of the reasons women are leaving. So I'm going to let her talk for a moment. So here's Juanita.
Hey, so the thought was this. A lot of what men have been dealing with over the years in the trucking industry, you know, just crazy unfair pay, unfair hours, you know, being forced to make runs out of, you know, hours and out of time and just kind of, you know, dealing with this, men have been dealing with for years. I think that part of the issue with women in trucking and leaving trucking is that we just won't stand for it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you come into this industry and you have a certain work ethic in mind, and companies that go outside of that work ethic, we are more likely to be like, oh no, I'm not going to stand for this. You're not going to run me out of hours. I'm going to, you know, I really want to be out here safe. I want to follow the rules and I want to be compensated fairly for it. Again, knowing the low rates, knowing what I should be being paid for the amount of work that I'm doing causes me to step away from some companies that, whereas, you know, I will say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm absolutely not. There are some men that are in situations and whatnot where they have no choice. you know, as long as they're getting their check, you know, they're fine with taking some of the abuses that the trucking industry has to offer. So I think it's definitely, you know, it has a lot to do with perspective on work and work rights and, you know, what should and should not be happening in the industry.
Okay, so, yeah.
I really want her to say that because I've thought the same thing. You have a lot of people that are entering this industry that have punched a time clock before. Every minute counts to them to get paid. And then when you tell somebody else, that 3 hours, you don't get paid for that. That's free. That's on you. That's like, what? So that's a big adjustment. And that's going to be a whole other show to talk about that. So, Sandy, go ahead and I think you said area code 817, and then I think we're going to be wrapping it up.
Yes. There. Good afternoon, 817. Who do we have?
This is Lori.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi,
Lori.
Hi. How are you guys? This has been incredible, informative blog talk. I was I started out in 99 when I first got, or right at the end of 99 and 2000 when I got my license, and I went with a carrier. It was a little old company called Swift that I hauled dynamite and depth charges and all kinds of different things, and I wasn't paid an equal salary. It never came out that way. I always ended up, and they would take advantage of the newness of me. And it was a local job. And I quit and moved away from trucking, went into something else. And I kept coming back. So, and I think, you know, since 2013, when I got back out here, I have worked for 1, 2, 3 carriers that were just brutal, took advantage of every stop. But I also have a history, so I didn't have some of the issues that some other folks have, because I would have, most people would say, not only are you a woman, but you're a felon, and we're not going to have it. So I didn't have a lot of choices. I called construction companies. I called local places on Craigslist, and that's how I got into some of the difficulties that I got into. But it also gave me an opportunity to set some skills in place. And even though that I think in life in general, we have to be aware is to be alive. And I think not only as women, but they take advantage of men too. I don't think that they're necessarily sometimes that hypocritical. I think they just really want to take advantage of, because it becomes an issue about, I want to feed my demons, not yours. I want to feed my kids, not yours. And so sometimes I think what you said earlier about culturally what we're dealing with in our society is a lack of respect. And that is very true. And sometimes we have to teach people how we want to be treated. And so like Juanita also was saying that, no, that's enough of that. But I don't think the tenaciousness is sometimes it takes. And like for me, I didn't have a whole lot of choices. I had to go in a direction, and it wasn't that I didn't have choices. I did away with my choices by making some of my choices, if you understand where I'm going. And now I found a company that is a very good company, and we've had our issues, and they do run me very hard as a solo flatbed driver. They do run me hard and expect me to do things, and like you said, you know, there's hours that it's free. It's on you because it took you that long to do whatever it was or whatnot. And sometimes, though, I think that we have a bit of a thin skin as well. And sometimes that, you know, and I know for me, let me speak about myself, is that my skin gets really thin when it becomes about, now you're not looking at what I got to deal with. But that's really not their part either. My heart goes out to the young lady that had the issue with the truck driving school, and I hope that she can get my phone number and we can chat at least. And I'd like to offer some solutions and some other avenues that might be open for her. I didn't go through truck driving school. That was one of the things I had to learn the hard way. And anyway, But I just really appreciate the blog talk. I thank you so much, and I hope that my story is encouraging, because I think part of what my the situation is that I've had to just stick it out and go through some stuff and move through and pass. And sometimes when the door slams shut, it's because it's not supposed to be open. That door needs to be closed because something else was going to happen. And sometimes I think life throws us those kinds of curves too, because it's how we deal with things and how respectfully or like with me, sometimes I go kicking and screaming and I leave claw marks before I let go. I don't know if anybody else has had that issue, but
yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Company. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
thank you
for
Lori.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. It is inspirational, and I really appreciate you sharing that. I wanted to, mention Tanya. We just have less than 5 minutes, and I want to mention Tanya because she wanted to call in, but she kind of represents another reason some women are leaving. She was put in a really bad situation by her carrier. She was given some piece of technology, driver tech, that gave her bad direction. She ended up getting into a situation. A lot of drivers end up leaving because they get into a fender bender or some kind of accident because they were poorly trained and their career is over. In her case, she got in a bad situation because the GPS she was giving gave her directions that were wrong directions that put her on a road she shouldn't have been on. And when she called her terminal manager, she couldn't even get a hold of him. And that happens to a lot of us. And when you're out there all by yourself trying to operate one of these trucks in the mountains, I remember my first 6 months being in West Virginia for the first time at night. I was just petrified. I mean, I was so lucky that I lived through that. And you just don't even know the fear that first winter that you go through in the mountains and you're trying to call for help and nobody answers. I was so fortunate that I didn't have an accident, but I hear about so many drivers that do in their first few months and they're done. They're out of the system. And then finally, I want to bring up Michelle. I got a printout. Michelle has a lot of experience. She has many, many years of accident-free. She's trained men that now work at Walmart, and she decided she would apply for Walmart's private fleet. And we have this up on our Facebook page, a screenshot of it. Hi, Michelle. We're truly grateful that you applied for our, and it says the division, driver position. At this time, we've determined that other candidates have qualifications that better align to this particular role, but we'd love to stay in touch. I mean, the way that it's worded is like, check out our careers page and maybe get a job as a cashier. But this is a woman that has decades of truck driving experience and has taught men that now work for Walmart's private fleet. So I'm very curious, some of these companies that say they really do, they support this other organization, just how many women have you increased in your driver fleet since all of this whole encouraging more women to enter trucking campaign has started? Because I've pulled for Walmart for 3.5 years as a dedicated driver, and I hardly ever saw a woman driver on the premises. The most women drivers I ever saw there was at the Matt's truck show that were all dressed up in their regalia. I've been to almost every distribution center across America, and I've seen two. So same with Pepsi, same with Frito-Lay. I'd like to know, where's your statistics? Where's your numbers? Have the number of women drivers increased since you started supporting women in trucking? And what are you doing to encourage more women to apply for you? Are you looking at your training? Are you looking at your interview process, your application process? I'd really like to know. So with that, Sandy, I think we're getting the warning. symbol.
Yes, we are getting the warning. We are winding down. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank everyone because they had changed the whole studio format since I last ran a studio on Blog Talk Radio. So thanks to everyone for your patience.
Okay.
This has been awesome. It worked out really well. Thank you so much, Sandy. You did a great job. Super.
Thank you.
And everybody called in and shared your story. We really appreciate it. It helps so many women that listen to the replays of these shows for you guys to take the time to call in and share your story. So thank you for that. And if you want to listen to the replay, the same link that I posted on our Facebook and Twitter for you to listen to it online, you can play that on your smartphone while you're driving and listen to the replay. It'll be available in the on-demand section. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.